used to. I mean, when the first time I get quite thought of what progressive said, so I kind of was.
Good morning. Welcome. Good to see everyone here this morning. You should have yet another award for bravery with some of the weather we're having and some of the roads we're having, and you know. But hey, this is Alberta. We've got to get right through the month of May before anything starts to clear out, and then who knows what happens after that. But having said all of that, getting our little weather complaint in, when you look at the news and you see what's going on with some of the terrible storms that people are having down in the States, you're looking at all these tsunamis and earthquakes, you know, and you look again at our weather and you say, what a blessing our weather is. Isn't it great to live here with this great weather we have? It is Palm Sunday. It is also a Sunday which the church is leaning more towards calling Passion Sunday, because it is the first week of the Passion of Christ and everything that comes before in this week that lies ahead. A lot of people come to church on Palm Sunday and then we don't see them again until Easter Day, which are all joyful occasions, but we really need to experience the walk of this week of Passion to really fully appreciate what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us when he died on that cross and rose again from the dead. And so we enter the week of Palm and Passion, and so we try to remember that. Over to you, Laurie. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Lots of announcements this morning, so here I go. Food bank donations, the box is in the foyer. The last day to bring in donations is Tuesday, probably before 10 a.m., so if you're able to, it would be very much appreciated. Great news, Reg Francis on Wednesday will be celebrating his 100th birthday. That's pretty exciting. And wouldn't it be nice if everyone in our church family could send him a card? There's going to be an informal coming and going gathering for Reg at the Didsbury Hospital on Good Friday afternoon, April 22nd, from 2 to 3:30. Short visits only that we're asking. But that's pretty special. Pearl Blaine wishes to express her thanks to the church family for all the visits and messages of support that she has received. She hopes to be back soon. Stan Pearson, it's with great sadness that we announced his passing last Sunday. He was a member of our congregation. Our prayers are certainly with his family at this time. Annual Beef Supper will be held April 30th from 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Sign-up sheets are on the bulletin board. Wilma's looking for volunteers to set up, clean up, and for cooking. And we certainly need everyone's help to make this a huge success. Just some upcoming events that I'd really like to stress today. On Wednesday will be our monthly mustard seed service day. And as always, donations of soup and cookies and time is so appreciated, so thank you to those involved. Thursday, the 21st, is Maundy Thursday service here at the church at 7 p.m. On the 22nd, April 22nd, of course, Good Friday, our service is at 10 a.m. And our Easter Sunday service, 10 a.m. on next Sunday. The official board meeting will take place Tuesday, April 26th at 7:30 here at the church. And Sue has some announcements she'd like to make.
I'm just going to stand here. You may have seen on the sign here, and we're going to put up, Redeemer Lutheran Church in Disbury is putting on a passion drama play they've done this for many years. Honestly, the majority of their congregation to do this. And it's a very moving presentation of the passion drama. Grant and Sophie are both in it this year. And I think it's really important to support our local churches in their mission outreaches, and this is definitely one that Redeemer works very hard at. So if you had some time today, I would highly encourage you to just take an hour, come into Didsbury, and really spend some time listening to this story. So that's the first plug. The second is the Vacation Bible School. Andrea and I are in the planning processes of VBS for this summer. We need as much help as we can. So
Are there any other announcements this morning? Thank you.
Iris and I went in to see Irene Schultz in Sundry Hospital, and she's having a kind of a tough time. They haven't sorted out yet what they're going to do with her broken arm. She's off to Calgary again tomorrow to see a consultant down there. But in the meantime, she's stuck in Sundry, and she's getting a bit down and a bit depressed. And I think if anybody is able to pop in there and have a little visit with her, it would really help to lift her spirits. So that's Irene Schultz in the Sundry Hospital. If you get the chance, if you get a moment, pop in and have a short visit. She'll be delighted to see you. She'll be absolutely delighted. I mean, she was even pleased to see me. So, I mean, she'll be more so to see you. So if you get the chance, pop in and see Irene at Sundry. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. On this Palm Sunday, we remember the prophecy of the prophet Zechariah when he said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And that great prophecy from many, many years ago was fulfilled on the Palm Sunday that we rejoice and remember today. I'm going to invite Kathy to come up and now lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Let's stand and start with, "This is the day that the Lord has made." You start. Yep. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is is number 29, "Glorify Thy Name."
Thank you.
Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, our loving Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks that you have given to each of us this great, wonderful joy and privilege of being able to come together in this, your house, on this, your day. And we come, gracious Father, because each of us have heard your voice. And we come, gracious Father, because each of us are richly blessed in our lives. And we come, gracious Father, because we seek to glorify your wonderful and your precious name. We come because we worship, we honor, and we lift high the name of Jesus. And so, gracious Lord, as we come to you this day, we pray that you will accept the praise that we bring. We pray, gracious Father, that you will open our hearts and that you will open our minds, and that each and every one of us here today, Lord, that we may hear your voice as you speak your message to each and every one of us. We worship you, Lord. We come in the name of Jesus, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is Isaiah 54 through 9, The Lord Will Help Me. The Sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue, to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The Sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious, I have not drawn back. I offered my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who pull out my beard. I did not hide my face from mocking and spitting. Because the Sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore have I set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who then will bring charges against me? Let us face each other. Who is my accuser? Let him confront me. It is the Sovereign Lord who helps me. Who is he that will condemn me? Our responsive reading this morning is Psalm 118, 1 and 19 through 29. Please respond in the bold C areas, please. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the rebellious may enter, the righteous may enter. Ooh, that was a slip. I'm going to say that whole thing again. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I'll give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Glory be to Father, and to the Son.
like all of these skills and tips that these school teachers have in getting everyone to pay attention. Aren't they clever? So we invite all of you rebellious and the righteous. We come to the celebration of Holy Communion, this most precious time in our church, in our service of the Lord, when we celebrate His dying for us, the shedding of His blood and the breaking of His body, that we might have life. And so we come to that wonderful celebration now. And to start us off, I'd like to invite Margaret to come up and lead us in the singing of our communion hymn, We Remember You.
And the cup that we share, we remember you. In broken bread and the cup that we share, we remember you. We remember you, Jesus. We remember your love for us. We remember the blood you shed. We remember you.
Welcome to participate in this great celebration of His love for us.
Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of Thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love Thee and worthily magnify Thy holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We continue in prayer. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the body of our Saviour Jesus, which was broken for us, and to drink of his blood, which was shed for us, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.
You that do truly and earnestly repent of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to live a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort and present yourself in all humility before Almighty God. If the elders would come and join me, please. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you, to preserve you unto everlasting life. Take, eat, and be thankful. Jesus. Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. The blood of the Lord Jesus shed for you. Thank you. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There is power in the blood. Power in the blood. And this is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you, that you might have eternal life. The Lord Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let us drink and be thankful.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Father, for this communion we give you thanks. And we ask that by your body and that by your blood that we may be made strong in your spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. I think, we're having special music first. It's always a great joy, and it's becoming quite a tradition in our church on Palm Sunday, that Margaret absolutely delights us as she presents for us the Holy City. And I asked her if she was going to still do it this year, and she said, "I'll try." Margaret, please come on up and present for us the Holy City. Thank you.
The Holy City. Those of you who had the privilege of being there will have treasured memories, I'm sure, of what it was like to walk where Jesus walked. The rest of us can only imagine the thrill and the blessing it would be. I hope that I can take you to the Holy City now. Last night I lay asleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. Thank you. then methought my dream was changed. The streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas. The little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery. The morn was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And once again the scene was changed. New earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its street. The gates were open wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, nor sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing, for the night is o'er. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna
Margaret, you did it again. That was beautiful. Thank you so very, very much. You had us all singing in our hearts. We were all on that road into Jerusalem, cheering Jesus and cheering Margaret along. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to take these gifts, to take the givers, and to perform mighty acts in the kingdom of God here on earth. Hear these this prayer, Lord. We offer it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Yes, time for the Sunday school. Thank you. Last weekend, Iris and I, along with Alan and Lita, had the privilege of being in Saskatoon. Sometimes people do not regard that as a privilege. But it was our first visit and we enjoyed it. And we enjoyed meeting with the other congregational churches from the Prairie region. We had a wonderful time. We spent a lot of time worshipping together and celebrating together the great joy that we have in being part of the congregational churches. It was good, we enjoyed it, but you know we missed being here. There's no place like home. It's always nice to come back to your own church, to your own church family, where you feel comfortable. And I mean, I'm not saying we didn't feel comfortable there, but it's not the same as home, is it? It's nice to be here, it's good to be among your own church family, and it's great to be back. Member of our church family, Vicky Richmond. Vicky's had some surgery this week to get rid of the kidney stone that was bothering her. And I hear from Dan that it's no longer bothering her, that she's doing well and responding to your prayers. So keep offering your prayers for Vicky and for all of the other people whom the Lord places upon your heart to care about and pray for, because it works. It works, and we know that so much. So let us now bow our heads and join together once again in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, creator of all things, creator of heaven and earth, Almighty God, who in creation breathed into us the breath of earthly life, and who in the cross of our Saviour breathes into us the breath of eternal life. We worship you and we praise you, Father, on this blessed day of Holy Passion. Father, Palm Sunday is very much like our own lives, a blending of triumph and tragedy, of glory and of sorrow, of courage and of fear, and of knowing and of not knowing. Bless and strengthen each one of us, Father, as we lean once again into the mystery of your suffering love, of your purity of heart, your strength and your obedience, and your cross and crown. We are thankful, gracious Lord, that you understand us, and we are so thankful, Father, that you forgive us. Because the cross lays bare and exposes our sinful ways. We are so full of cheap excuses for ourselves, for our behavior, and for our failures. So very often, Lord, your cross clashes with our values and our way of doing things. We still believe in doing things by strength and by might. We like to be first. And so very often, Father, in life, we put ourselves first. And so we ask you, Lord, once again to lead us to the foot of your cross in this Holy Week. Show us again how wrong we are and how costly our sin really is. And we ask you, Father, to allow us to repent, to confess our sins, and to change the direction of our lives, and to be open to receive your gracious pardon. You have taught us, Father, that you died for us, that we might have life, and that we might have life in abundance. And we rejoice, Father, in that promise. Father, we are aware of those of your children that seem to suffer at the hands of life. We can picture in our minds those whose needs are so much greater than our own. But we can also picture them, Lord, in the light of your glorious presence, with your loving and tender and healing arms around them. And we can see them, Father, rising in your power and in your strength. And Lord Jesus, as we bow before your throne of grace, we whisper the names of those whom we care about, those whom we worry about, those whom we pray about. We whisper them now before you, Lord, in the beauty of holiness. We thank you again, gracious Father, for your church throughout the world, that she may be strong, that she may be mighty, and that she may be victorious. And we thank you, Father, for our own church family here, and for all of your love that we feel as we come together in this place. Direct us, Lord, that we might take the opportunities that come our way to share your wonderful and precious love with all whom we meet. And we pray, Father, for ourselves, that you will take us and that you will lead us into the week ahead. We ask you, Father, to watch over us, to watch over our families, and to protect us from all of the evil that would harm us. And we pray, gracious Lord, that you will accept us, that we might accept your will in all things. And may each of us, Lord, know of your wonderful peace in our lives, in our world, in our homes, in our hearts. And Holy Father, we ask you again to hear each and every one of our prayers, for we offer them in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. The gospel this morning is the triumphal entry, 21. It's Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus said to them, sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And the epistle is Philippians 2:5-11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Why did I do that? We missed a hymn out. Now we have to decide whether we're going to sing All Glory, Lord and Honour, or Lead Me to Calvary. So let's have a show of hands. Who wants All Glory, Lord and Honour? Who wants Lead Me to Calvary? The All Glory, Lord and Honours have it. We stand and sing to the glory of God the hymn 173, All Glory, Lord and Honour. Thank you, Peg. Pray with me, please. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the most gruesome and hopeless places in early 19th century England was the debtor's prison. Charles Dickens described it, but thousands of England's poor lived it firsthand. Everything the debtor owned was confiscated. Nothing was left. If any debt still remained, the debtors were imprisoned until the balance owed could be paid. And can you see the futility of that situation? The debtor was locked up. How on earth would they ever get the chance to clear that debt? It was a situation without hope. And that was civilized 19th century England. But according to ancient Jewish law, we're talking Jewish law now, there were moral limits on what could be demanded as payment for debts. And among those things that were legally off limits was a person's most important piece of clothing, and that was their cloak. Less substantial garments could be held as collateral for the debt, but a person's cloak was to be considered to be in a category all by itself. A cloak offered warmth and protection. It provided modesty. It shielded the nakedness. A cloak doubled as clothing and as shelter, functioning as apparel by day and a bedroll by night. You could legally, by Jewish law, take a lot in payment for debts, but you could not take the cloak off someone's back. That was forbidden. But a cloak could be offered. And when it was considered by the recipient as a great, great honour. The cloak was part of a person. And if I offer you my cloak, I offer you myself. I give you myself. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them. And Jesus sat on them. He sat on the cloaks, not on the two animals. He sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road. And Jesus here is fulfilling the ancient scriptures of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. And these people knew their scriptures. And so they gave to Jesus a great part of themselves. They honored Jesus as the Messiah by offering him their cloaks, by offering themselves. The time for Jesus of keeping a low profile was over. He fulfills this ancient scripture and he enters Jerusalem as a king. But he enters Jerusalem in humility, riding on a small and a simple donkey colt. Jesus moves into Jerusalem with obedience and humility. And Jesus did this knowing that the cross of Calvary was before him at the end of that very week, the week of Passion. One of the classic images of the Old West is that of the grubby old gold miner sifting through the creek beds. And always alongside of him would be his trusty, heavy-laden donkey. And these old-time miners, they didn't use horses because they were not sure-footed enough to traverse the rough terrain, the narrow winding trails and the slippery creekside stones. After all, if this was a successful gold miner, this donkey carried a precious and most valuable cargo. It carried his gold. And such a treasure could only be trusted to donkeys. Isn't that interesting? To donkeys. Now today, for those of you who like exciting vacations, if you wanted to experience donkey travel, and it's most exciting and exhilarating, you can sign up and take the long trail down to the base of the Grand Canyon on a donkey. Anybody ever done that? You can sign up and you can do that. And many people believe that the donkey is used for this precarious ride down into the Grand Canyon because his smaller feet and his shorter legs make him more stable on the trail. Or perhaps that these little animals have some strange and peculiar sixth sense that enables them to pick out the best track to follow. But actually, almost the opposite is true. Far from being cautious and reticent to go near the steep edges, these Grand Canyon donkeys often frighten the living daylights out of their passengers by walking as close as they can get to the edge as possible. It seems that donkeys feel safest and most secure when they can clearly see where the edge is, where their greatest danger lies. And what it seems unnerves a donkey the most is knowing that an edge is near, but not being able to see it. And you can kind of see some logic in that. We like to see the edge, but so that we can get as far as we can away from it. In today's gospel reading, it is easy to get swept up in the celebration of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. It's kind of exciting because for once, everyone seems to be supportive. People appear to be excited about his presence. The crowd seem confident in his ability and his abilities and actually just who he really is. But you will notice that Jesus was quite specific when he instructed the two disciples to appropriate for him a very particular mount, a young donkey colt. Matthew doesn't want anyone to misread the identity of the mount that Jesus chose. He didn't want anyone to suppose that this might be some high-spirited young horse, which will be a far more noble steed for the King of Kings. But Matthew wants his readers, you and I, to be perfectly aware of the difference between the shouts of the crowd, the almost royal processional, and the humble, simple beast of burden upon which Jesus rides. Donkeys were workhorses. They were common pack animals. They were used by working labourers, by landowners, and by merchants alike. Everyone used them. They were common. More exotic long-distance travel and rich transport caravans used the more demanding, the expensive, and the haughty camels. But the donkey was a much simpler, less impressive worker. It accomplished the most mundane of daily tasks in small villages and in big cities. Subservient donkeys were a necessity and an unexceptional part of first century life. And the donkey is quite clearly Jesus' own choice of animal for his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, riding on the most humble of beasts and thus fulfilling the ancient prophecy. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. But he is also, and he wants everyone to know, that he is the servant of servants. He is a workhorse. He is the helper of helpers. He rode on the steed of the simplest peasant. And sitting on the back of a donkey does not put anyone above the heads of other people. In fact, sitting upon such a small animal would put the rider pretty well face to face, on a face to face level, with anyone standing in the crowd. He rode in the midst of the crowd. He was part of the people, and he was as much of the crush as everyone else was. Now, church tradition tells us that this is not the first ride that Jesus had on a donkey. Although the scriptures do not report it as such, don't we always picture Mary and Joseph going to Bethlehem, where Jesus was to be born? How do you picture Mary travelling? She's on the back of a donkey, isn't she? Scriptures don't tell us that. But we just know that she would be on the back of a donkey. And again, the Gospels do not tell us. But when Joseph is told by an angel to take Mary and the baby Jesus and flee to Egypt from the wrath of King Herod, how do you visualize them traveling? How do you visualize Mary and the baby traveling down into Egypt? We always see them in our mind's eye as on a donkey. For this journey and the return journey after Herod had died, we think that they will be on a donkey. And legend has long suggested that in honour of the donkey's humble service to Jesus, the animal was rewarded with that distinctive black cross patterned right across his sturdy shoulders. And don't we often refer to them as a Jesus donkey? A Jesus donkey. Yet to this day, the donkey remains as an animal of humour, sometimes as an animal of scorn. We laugh at it, we laugh at people, we call them a donkey. Come on, you lazy donkey, get on with it. And we laugh. We refer to having to do the donkey work as though it was demeaning work. But if I ask for a show of hands of who's used to doing all the donkey work, I think all the hands will be up. We all do the donkey work. But do you know that the donkey is the only animal in the Bible that can talk? It speaks. And you can check out in Numbers chapter 22. Read from verse 21 onwards, and you will read of Balaam's donkey. And verse 28 of that chapter 22 says this: Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, and you've got to look it up yourself to see what she said to Balaam. It's in Numbers chapter 22. Write it down from verse 21 onwards. See what the donkey had to say to Balaam. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, and he entered Jerusalem in humility. Mahatma Gandhi led the people of India in a humble and passive resistance that ended in their liberation from British domination. Gandhi based his methods on the person and on the actions and on the activities of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of his own methods of operation, this is what he said: First, they laugh at you. Then they fight you. Then you win. Frequently, humility is laughed at, but humility is effective, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ's method of reaching out and touching the lives of other people. Many of you will have read this book by Corrie Ten Boom, The Hiding Place. Who's read it? Yeah, lots of us. Those of you who haven't, here's the one here you can read if you want to have a read of it. And it's almost certainly in our library somewhere. I should imagine it will be. Corrie Ten Boom, who wrote this book, she writes of how she gave shelter to the Jews who fled the Nazis. And she spent a lot of her time along with her sister in a concentration camp. And she tells of how God's grace, through what she went through, has touched millions and millions of lives. A few years ago, at a press conference following a ceremony in which she was given an honorary degree, one of the reporters asked her if it was difficult to remain humble whilst receiving such acclaim. And this is what she replied: Young man, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on the back of a donkey, and everyone was waving palm branches and throwing their cloaks on the road and singing praises, do you think that for one moment it ever entered the head of that donkey that any of that was for him? She continued, "If I can be the donkey on which the Lord Jesus Christ rides on into his glory, I give him all the praise and all the honor." Think ahead 500 years from now. Where will you be? And as you delight in the glory of God's kingdom and his wonderful presence, each of us, we will not even remember how much money we earned when we lived on earth, how big our house or our farm was, or whether we had much status or popularity. But we will celebrate forever that we willingly became a donkey for the Lord Jesus Christ to ride upon into his glory. And we will say, "Thanks be to God. Amen." I don't quite know what we should sing now. We've got a choice here. But we are going to close with our two hymns. And first of all, 183, "Beneath the Cross of Jesus." We stand and sing to his glory. Sing 312. Let me remind you of our service on Thursday evening, our Maundy Thursday service, when we celebrate communion, and then we go with Christ and his followers to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then of Good Friday, our Good Friday morning service at 10 o'clock. You will be welcome in each and every one of them, and you will benefit greatly by being at them both. 312, "To Be God's People."
Almighty Father, give us a vision of a dying world that needs your love and care. We see the need, the yearning for a Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this our prayer, to be God's people.
And when we falter, be thou our comfort. Guide us as your children, that our lives may be a beacon in this darkness that surrounds us, a light that others then may see. To be God's people in this place, live His goodness, share His grace, proclaim God's mercy through His Son, be His love to everyone.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love, this day and forevermore.
Oh.